It's the 9 o'clock hour of Cairo Nights. We call it the nightcap. I am G Scott. Brother Mace is out. He's got the sniffles today. He's a little sick. He pulled a Chasen Gordon.
Oh my lord! Oh my god! Here. You are in no position, sir.
Yeah, he will not. He will not be here. He'll be back on Monday. Happy Friday to all of you. Right now, we do this every Friday at 9 o'clock. We bring in the gang from My Northwest. They do the best of My Northwest. By the way, MyNorthwest.com is a place you need to go and read all of your good daily news because they're great writers over there. Michael Simeona, Chasen Gordon, Nick Bowman, and my good nerd friend, Dyer Oxley.
Good evening.
Hey, guys. Glad you're here. Who's going first?
You know, I'll step up and
Nerd Dyer Oxley.
Yes, and because I think that I might be, poking G a little bit on this one. I'm going to get a rise out of you, because today we had a pretty great historical article by Felix Bennell. He writes, he's like our local
historian. Can't badmouth Felix.
Well, Felix brings us a story today where he focused on two areas of Lake Washington where we have historically held the hydroplane races.
Oh, overrated. Go ahead.
Okay. Felix makes a bold statement. 70 years ago, Seafair started, but Seafair really started, in his opinion, it really started in 1950 when we added the hydroplane races in 1951. He points out a whole bunch of just reasons why. He talks about the slow motion, that's SLOMO-SHUN. Slow Motion 4 is the first modern hydro racing boat. It started right here on Lake Washington, and set a world record for speed at 162 miles per hour in 1950. And then he goes through the whole other history of it. Great names for these boats, and I actually found it fascinating to read through. And also the bold statement that Seafair really exists because of hydro races.
Yeah, hydro races are overrated. And if anybody, you guys can at me if you want to. Doesn't matter. I'm going to say it. I've already asked Michael Simeona this, so I don't want to look like it's an aha moment. Michael Simeona, you are born and raised here. How many start-to-finish hydroplane races have you seen?
Zero.
Okay. I talked to Boy Howdy over on the 710 side. He's born and raised here. I asked him the same question. He said zero. Nick Bowman, you've been living here how long?
I just want to say something.
Wait. Can we not hear you?
I am having a little trouble. Check. Hearing.
Do it again.
Check.
Oh, my goodness. For some reason, we can't hear Nick Bowman. Nick, you have to use that one.
All right.
So, Nick, how long have you been here?
I've been living here for about 12 years.
Okay. And how many start-to-finish hydroplane races have you seen?
At least none. I've seen none.
Okay. All right.
Nick has a tattoo of a hydroplane in his back.
Okay. So, I know ketchup chips are good in Canada. So, you're from Canada.
Minnesota. Yeah.
How many hydroplane races have you seen?
I never missed them. But see, gee, this makes them underrated, not overrated.
Yeah, they're not rated.
Yeah, they're not rated.
They're not properly rated.
No one here is saying, I love hydroplanes, but I also haven't seen a race yet.
No, the reason why they're overrated, because you can't say Seafair without bringing up the hydro races. So when you're explaining, hey, you got to come hang out for Seafair, what's going on at Seafair? What do they say? Oh, well, there's boats and...
Blue Angels.
Now, that's cool. Love the Blue Angels. I think that's the best thing. The best thing about Seafair is three things. Blue Angels, boat on the water with your friends, and you know it's going to have good weather. It's usually good weather in Seattle.
I think that's the thing. Nobody thinks of Seafair and says, like, oh, hydroplanes is the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
Actually, I will make one argument here. First of all, nobody asked me if I've ever seen a hydroplane race out of this whole thing.
Don't ask me, Dyer. No.
No, I have not, and I have lived here all my life. But there is one reason why I think people pay attention to hydroplane races. Okay, because we all know what happens, and we've had it on our website. We get a video. We're all watching. The boat is going.
Budweiser wins all the time.
It catches some air, and that hydroplane race is no longer a hydro. It's catching air. It's in the air, and that's why everybody watches, because they're looking for that one moment that, oh, maybe that thing is going to go airborne, and there's going to be a whole scene. We had a video of it last year. It was one of the most popular things on the website, because people love seeing a hydroplane take to the air, and I think that's why many people kind of pay attention to those.
You guys are stats. You guys love stats. Go ahead and look at how many years Budweiser, their deal, has won.
They didn't win last year.
Because finally people are catching up. But of all the years, wait till you find out how many years Budweiser actually won the Hydro races.
I just like them because it's a thing I'll never be able to afford. And so I can't. It's like a very rich race kind of thing. Like, they're way above jet skis. Like, jet skis are always this away thing. But now hydroplanes take it to the next level.
Yeah, don't you guys think hydroplanes is kind of like NASCAR races? Only NASCAR races are way better.
Just on the water?
I would probably put... I've never been to either, but I would go to a boat.
I don't know.
What do you mean? NASCAR's way better.
Than hydroplane?
Yes!
What would you rather watch, a hydroplane race or a car race? I mean, a hydroplane race is pretty rare.
You bring up Budweiser, right? And like, the name and everything. One last point that I think Felix brought up was the history of the names of these boats that I just absolutely loved, like the Shanty One and the Maverick. My favorites, however, was the Miss Thriftway that won a few races, and the Miss Wahoo. Uh-huh. Which I'm assuming is named after a girl from Capitol Hill. So,
shots fired, Capitol Hill.
That's pretty good, Dyer. All right, Nick, you want to go ahead and take a stab? Nick
sure.
Bowman here.
Yeah, I'll go next. So, as we know, Seattle and the greater Seattle area almost always rank at the bottom of most lists for bad drivers in the rain, and most traffic. Today we saw all three of those things happen all at once in what a one car radio traffic reporter called a disaster of a morning commute. In a 1 hour period between 4:30 and 5:30 in the morning, there were 8 traffic incidents in the greater Seattle area. On my way in, I had the very first traffic jam I've ever had getting here at 5 in the morning. Driving on I-5 North, I drove by a rear-end collision. Less than a quarter mile ahead of me, 2 lanes were blocked for a turned-over semi. And then another, I think, maybe half mile past that, another rear-end collision, all within like a 1 mile period.
That's rough, because that's the only reason to get up early.
To beat the traffic,
and that's, oh my God.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Did you swear at least once in a car?
Oh, at least more than that, I would say.
Yeah. If you face traffic at 5 in the morning, you have every right to swear.
Yeah.
Especially on a Friday.
Yeah, on a Friday when it's supposed to be busy.
Rough.
Yeah, and then there was also a car fire that was blocking lanes for a while.
Of course.
I heard the commute even after that was brutal.
Oh, yeah. They didn't get that thing cleared for the semi. I mean, they didn't get that cleared for maybe 3 or 4 hours. It took them forever. It was facing the wrong direction, rolled over on its side. Yeah. But that car fire, the problem wasn't so much that the car was on fire, was that traffic was building up in the opposite direction for people slowing down. There was more traffic from rubberneckers going the wrong direction than there were from people actually trying to get by the car fire.
Because you want to see why you're angry. Yeah. You're like, what? This better be a big thing. That's how people react.
You've been waiting for an hour, and you have a right to see why you've been mad this whole time.
All right, who we got? Jason?
Yeah?
What do you got?
So I have never seen a hydroplane race. But what I have seen once is a goats running down the street. There's a big herd of goats in Issaquah. That escaped a fence. It's really an amazing video. I would recommend that people go watch it.
It's one of those things that really hits the visual medium.
Exactly.
More than
it looks like, I don't know if people have seen Magnolia, but remember the ending where all the frogs fall from the sky and it's this big biblical moment? What this looks like. It feels like God's judging us all by sending goats down the street.
And one dog.
And goats and one dog. So it's what, like 100 goats at least?
I couldn't count them all.
Yeah, there's a lot of goats and one dog that thinks it's a goat. They were being used to clear brush nearby. Apparently, people use
goats. No, they do. Yeah. I've seen that a lot.
Like lawnmowers. I didn't know that. And they broke free and they just started charging down the street, eating plants everywhere. And then they're eventually lured back into the pen because they're not. It wasn't like a Toy Story thing. Where they
the best
away.
Thing about this entire scene is you see all these goats, just a flood, like a wave of them hitting this poor house that's like on the corner of the street. And you know they were all going, "Can I eat this? Can I eat this? Can I eat that? We're going to eat it all." And I know that they went from house to house, and that house, all those houses along that little suburban street. Have been picked clean. Okay, all the bushes, all the grass, those houses have damage at this point.
When you watch it, I recommend playing the Beastie Boys. It goes well with them. They're like bouncing around. Don't you tell me it doesn't. They're just like eating things. They look like they're ragamuffins.
The visual I have of these goats going down the suburban street. Now, was there somebody, Nick, of your delegation that called the police?
Unconfirmed.
That's a good question. How would one react to looking out your window and seeing 300 goats just charging down your street? Would you call the police? What could they do about it? They can't arrest the goats. They're not going to put them in the back of a squad car.
They'll call the police on me before they call the police on 300 goats. I'm calling the police on 300 goats. Michael Simeona.
All right, so this video of a small airplane landing on basically a highway in Parkland, Spanaway has gone viral. And so the video is online at MyNorthWest.com right now. It's caught from the State Patrol. A patrolman's dash cam caught the entire scene of a plane landing in the middle of the highway. And it goes on and further on. The plane just stops conveniently at a red light, so didn't break any traffic laws. And then the patrolman gets out of his vehicle and just calmly knocks on the airplane door, and the guy gets out, and they push the plane to the street. But the video's gone viral. It was on the Today Show this morning. Like, could you imagine seeing that?
Wait, can push the plane like a car would you put in neutral? You can do that with a plane?
Like, guy, he just got out and pulled the plane just off the side of the street.
Steering a plane, especially one that small, you're generally getting the propeller to propel you to the board, and you're just using brakes on the wheels to slow and turn and all that kind of stuff. But in this case, the plane ran out of gas. And that's why the guy had to do an emergency landing, which wasn't as smooth because it is an emergency landing, but it was really impressive. I will say the best part of this video, you see this just dramatic plane just hit down and hit on the road, and then right at the end, the cop doesn't just like run over like, oh my gosh, you're okay. He just kind of like saunters over like he just pulled someone over, the hands on the belt, and says, Excuse me, sir, can you roll down your window? And the guy just
calmly
just
gets out.
I think that cop said license, registration, insurance.
Exactly.
He didn't even get a ticket.
I mean, what would you get a ticket there for?
I don't know. Maybe landing on a road when you're not supposed to be there.
Oh, he probably got a ticket.
No, he didn't. He did not get any citation.
He deserves a ticket. Well, I'll tell you, I know who deserves some awards. Cop deserves an award.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? The people driving deserve an award because they didn't get hit. That could have been catastrophic. That road right there by the Jiffy Lube and stuff like that. So on Wednesdays when I go down and stay in Tacoma, on Thursday mornings around 8 o'clock is when I leave on that road right there to go to work out. I didn't go yesterday because I knew I was going to have to work today. And so I had to go get a haircut yesterday. So that's what I was doing during that time.
You could have been there.
I could have been on there. That would have been sweet. Like to see that, I would have been on the phone in my video.
Oh, yeah.
Because you guys know how I love to take video.
I just love that this guy's like, he's like me in a car. Like his gas light went on. He's like, oh, I'll make it. I'll be fine. It's like, it's way worse when you're in a plane.
He was commuting to work from Yelm to Seattle, like Boeing Field, and he only got to Parkland. Like, come on, man. He should have known.
He knew he couldn't make it.
Hold on. He's commuting to work?
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He was commuting to work. Boeing Field.
Do it.
Oh, Boeing Field. I was about to ask, does this guy like work at a store, like a grocery store or something? Just like parks, just lands in the parking lot and parks in like four spaces.
Just going to Safeway, going to Costco. Yeah,
you're just going to the grocery store. I don't feel like driving.
I'm with Chasen. I do it. I do it way too much. I got enough gas. I can make it. Yeah. Oh, that light's on. It'll be all right. But I have to be the one that gets on the side of the road with no gas, which I haven't had it done in a long time.
Right.
Been some years, but I've done that before. I can't be doing that.
I once had my car's battery was dying. It was a big electrical problem. But it actually carried me right in front of my place. Like, my car stopped. It died, and I rolled right in front of my house. Like, this is amazing.
And then you went to bed. You're just like, all right, that's good.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a little on the angle.
And then you just set it on fire and called it good.
Exactly, as you do.
Gee, I got a tidbit for you.
Okay.
I Googled Miss Budweiser.
A factoid?
Oh.
Factoid.
Okay.
Miss Budweiser has been deactive for 15 years.
Oh. It's been deactive?
Yeah. It hasn't even been running.
No.
But they did win 17 Seafairs. So
the answer to your question is...
But they did win 17 Seafairs. And how many of those were in a row, probably?
I don't know. They said they won 7 national titles.
None of which any of us watched, apparently.
Did you just hear that? 7 national titles in a row. That's because they were ahead of it. Budweiser used to have big crews and all that, and all the little ma and pa hydroplanes was like, hey man, we just hoping we don't just blow up in the air like Chasen and those guys are talking about. Budweiser, they had crews and everything put together. That's why they was doing it. I know you guys are looking ahead, and you guys always do. You plan on your board. Any big news that you guys are working on next week? Oh. Am I allowed to ask that? Because I know
I will. The thing is, you need to be careful when you ask this question, because you asked me this last week, and then I nearly put you to sleep. Like, we were talking about keyboards.
Oh gosh!
You can look forward to the story of Renton's homeless dragon that has now had a rags to riches story that is going to be told. I've talked with multiple people down in Renton.
Such a dire story.
It's pretty. It's great. I almost didn't want to do this story because I don't want to be the office's official like dragon.
No,
reporter.
You're on the dragon.
Okay, but Renton has three dragons, and one of them has a point of pride for the city, but not a lot of people have known. This dragon hasn't had a home for years, and now
I'm looking at the faces in here. I can only imagine what you listening right now, what kind of face that you have. Dyer, like, I mean,
gee, you did ask.
I did. I mean this with all I mean this with all due respect. Are there a small fraction of people that actually care about these dragons?
Yes. The last dragon story we did was one of the most successful ones that we had on My Northwest. I'll share. I was surprised, too. But it was tens of thousands. Yeah, I mean, it was very popular.
I mean, you got homeless dragon versus actual homeless. What are you going to click on? You're going to click on the homeless dragon story. Come on. You're tired of hearing about the other homeless story.
Gee, the short answer there is what I call regionally, we have what I call a geekonomy here that people don't realize.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. I'm sorry. We have more geeky companies here than anywhere else. We have a Comic-Con like nearly every other week or so. Like, there is a community here that's kind of underground that nobody realizes. And they care about dragons. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. Thanks, guys. Talk to you guys next week. Really appreciate it. Chasing Gordon, Michael Simeona, Dyer Oxley, and Nick Bowman. Glad Nick's here because usually he likes to leave early. He gets in here early, and he leaves really early. So that's what Nick does here on the show. You guys are listening to the Car Nights. G. Scott. Welcome back into Kyra Nights, everybody. G. Scott, Mace is out. Got a little sniffle. He'll be back on Monday. Usually we would do Mace's stories during this time, but we got a break from that. And the gals from 710 over there, Mara Dooley and Stacey Joe, they usually talk sports with me at 8:30. You guys have probably heard that, but I had Boy Howdy in, and then I was sitting there talking to them, and I had to bring him to the show. I had to bring and talk about this because you guys are family. We all family. And I can't lie to you. Got to tell you what's going on. There's some dating issues going on. And so we figured it's Friday night. You might want to hear this. And if you don't, don't worry about it. Now, Stacey Joe, I need you to take it from the top.
Okay.
Yesterday, re-explain. And then Mara and I, we'll sit back. And, of course, you too as well. 98973, it's Online Trading Academy text line. You too as well get to help Stacey Joe with the situation.
Help me out. So I
share your pain, Stacey.
Very recently got into dating apps. I downloaded two. And I was talking with this guy just through the app who I was like, oh, he's funny. It's cool. We just agree to you know, grab a bite to eat or whatever. And so we're texting earlier this week and we decide, well, why don't we meet Thursday? So Thursday rolls along. And the entire time I've kind of felt like he's not initiating a lot of the conversations. And I'm like, man, I don't think this guy's that into me. But we'll see. Thursday rolls along. And I text, we leave training camp. I'm with Mora at the time. So this is like noon. And I said, do you still want to meet up today? And he didn't say anything. A couple hours later, like 3 or 4 hours later, I text, so we can totally reschedule if you want. Then he texts back like 5 minutes later and says, oh my gosh, that would be great. I'm on call tonight. Or it's a work-related reason he can't do it. So then like we're randomly talking about...
Stop right there.
Okay.
See, I knew you were going
to. I know where you're going to go with it right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, last night, she explained that story that she just said. And she, the last text was, what was the last text that he said during that time?
He asked what the team looked like.
No. Before that, the last text was, oh, yeah, you know, I have to, yeah, we have to reschedule.
Then he did not reschedule.
He did. Okay. You told us that story, and then we, including Cairo Knight listeners that text in, told you not to text him anymore, to delete his number.
Well, no. I didn't text him anymore, but I was telling you guys about a conversation that had already happened. So he asked me, so he didn't reschedule, and I kept thinking he would, because the conversation has just kind of started back up, and I was like, okay, cool, I was kind of hoping you would say that, because I've been outside, I'm really tired. So then he asked, like, what's the team look like? And I was like, oh, offense looks good. He doesn't say anything for hours. And then today, I get a text from him, and I deleted his number. Today, I got a text from him saying, oh, that's cool, ha, ha, ha.
No, but
what?
You should.
Why even text?
You should have stopped texting him from the beginning, because you told me there was a delay in the amount of hours in which he reached you. And then finally you said, hey, it's okay if you want to reschedule.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, yeah, I want to reschedule. So I told you to stop then.
You would have stopped then, but what if then you like delete that person and you're like out of here, but then his next text would have been rescheduling? You have to just see out the end of the conversation, because he might, if that person reschedules, it's genuine. If they do not reschedule, if they're like, yeah, let's figure out another day to do it.
If G was a woman, he has no patience for any of this.
I will say that when G and Aaron told me yesterday when we were talking it out, because that's the thing, I'm like, I am not going to wait around for and chill with someone who's clearly not interested in me. Like, I don't want to date for the sake of dating. I'd rather be alone.
He
told, I got stuff to do.
In the beginning, in 2019, earlier, he went 4 hours in responding.
Yep.
He told you then his interest level in you, in that whole deal. And so when he finally responded, he didn't respond with, hey, this is what I got going on. Sorry about that. Hey, so yeah, blah, blah, blah. He kind of responded with a matter of fact.
Yeah.
It's 2019, Stacey Joe.
I know.
You don't need to be dealing with nobody that's not going to text you back in 4 hours. And people
not.
Say I'm hard. Last night, people say, oh, gee, you're too extreme.
No. Know your worth.
Thank you.
Know your worth.
I agree. If someone's seeming wishy-washy, I'm out. Especially at the beginning, because it's like you should be excited to meet someone at first. And if you're not, then let's not waste each other's time. But I will say with the four-hour thing, I don't know. I get pretty busy, pretty backed up here sometimes at the station when things are going on behind.
Then I ain't dating you anymore. How about that?
Sometimes the girl group, Stacey, and some of the other ladies that I'm friends with here will text me, and I won't get back to you guys for a while.
Yeah, I'm a notoriously bad texter, but I think I was more concerned. I wasn't as concerned with him. It wasn't a red flag not responding right away. It was that you didn't text until I said that, and that you didn't say, oh my gosh, you didn't tell me, you weren't like, oh my gosh, my bad, I've been at work. It was like, oh yeah, that'd be great if we could reschedule.
I agree. He made plans with you, and if it was getting close to the time the evening you guys were supposed to meet, and he hadn't even thought to reach out.
Well, like,
out,
you're clearly
cancel.
Not interested in me, and that's okay. It's not gonna, like, whatever. But here's the deal.
It's not gonna break me.
So here's, when I got these two apps, 2 weeks ago,
what are the apps called?
Hinge and Bumble.
And Bumble.
And my two roommates were like, both are women. They were like, oh my gosh, like, if nothing else, it's like, it will make you feel better because it's such a confidence booster. My confidence has taken a hit in 2 weeks because it's like, what I think it is that single people right now in a city where you're trying to meet people, you have so many options at your fingertips that you don't have to be personable or cool with anyone. You truly have a second to decide whether you are interested in even talking to them. And then it's like a conversation holds interest with someone for like 10 seconds. And I know that I'm cool. And I know that you're
yes,
cool.
You are.
And I know that a lot of, you know what I mean? It's not the fault of anyone. It's just what the app is.
Stacey, you just said something that I'm sure somebody else heard too. You just said that your roommate said that Hinge and Bumble, oh my gosh, these are confidence boosters. Mm-hmm. And I believe you. I believe that there are women just on these sites.
I think there are women and men that do this.
Okay, fair enough. Inflate their ego.
To gauge the level.
Right?
Amen.
Right? So they get on there and they look on Bumble. They got like 9 messages in 5
minutes.
They
aren't really serious
about
it.
And they're
not,
like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. You know, maybe coffee or something. Yeah, yeah. But you never are serious. Yeah. See, that's the problem with the dating world today.
Yes.
Is people are using the dating world.
But it's bad to know that someone's doing that to you. Like, when I look at mine, so on Hinge, there's this option. I'm new to all of this. On Hinge, there's this option where, so tell me if this is a double standard. If I can think of something funny, I'll say it to a guy. But if a guy matches with me and then invites me to chat, I automatically am like, no, you're not interested in me.
Mm. Oh, like at least say hello. If you're just like, oh, I'm just going to check this box and hope you reach out
to me. I know
it's
a double standard.
I agree. I totally agree.
But that's how I feel. I'm like, clearly you thought like, okay, I'll match with her. But like, you aren't impressed enough to say anything to me. And that tells me everything I need to know.
I have an idea. How about this? This is an opportunity for me and some others that are listening to learn from you. So, coming up next, I need to know three to five mistakes that we men make with ladies. Mar, you answer that. Stacey Joe, you answer that. All right, we'll do that next. You guys listen to Kyra Nights. I'm G. Scott. Welcome back into Kyra Nights, everybody. Happy Friday. I'm G. Scott. Means the world. You guys listen to the show. Those hanging out coast to coast comes up next. Usually this is a time where we do what's on your mind, but not tonight. Not tonight because we got company. Mason is out. He'll be back on Monday. But Stacey Joe and Mara Dooley are here from 710 over there. And they're coming over here. And I asked them a question before the break. And maybe you guys heard that, but let me just let you know what it was. The question was, Mara and Stacey Joe, what are three to five mistakes that we men make when it comes to you ladies? And so I'm going to learn, you're going to learn, and we're going to find out these mistakes. Who wants to go first?
Okay.
Well, maybe go one each.
I'm going to lead in with the one I said last time, which I know this is a very, like, a double standard gender norm. And I'll admit that, like, this is just my opinion, but it's shared by my roommate. So it's anecdotal, but I think that more people think this than not. Don't invite me. If you aren't interested at all, just don't match with me. And then don't match with me and invite me to start the conversation. If you're interested in someone that you match with, say anything, literally anything. Hey, how's your weekend? Whatever, just something. It doesn't have to be some clever line, but I think that me included, some women read you inviting them to make the first move as you thinking like, look, I know I'm good looking and I could be with any woman on this app and, you know, I need to gauge your interest. Like, sorry, but no. It's a double standard, but it's the same thing as, like, I would expect someone to hold a door open or something.
Well, I think you're making the first approach, so I think it even works the other way. If you're the one that's saying, hey, I'm interested, then say hello. Don't just let the app do it for you that someone's going to reach out.
When you invite me to start the chat, I'm unmatching.
All right. Mara, you got one?
I'll elaborate from there. And this is one that works for everyone too, not just men. I just think if you are talking to someone on one of those apps, I always try to respond with an answer and then also ask another question of them. Mm-hmm. I think it's really weird when people are like, hey, how's your day going? And you're like, oh, it's going good. How about you? And then they don't really answer, or they send something back that's just a statement and you don't really know how to. You have to be conversational so you can actually get to know this person.
Because you don't want it to turn into one person being the interviewer one person the interviewee.
Yep. That's a good one, Mara.
Good one, Mara. Very good. Stacey Joe?
Aesthetically, let's talk about this. For men and women, your first picture should just be a picture of you. Don't include anyone else in there. Don't have your first photo or your first two photos be like you.
The worst is when they have a picture
friends.
Of a girl that's face they blacked out. Like it's ex-girlfriend.
If you have a photo of yourself that you like, but your ex-girlfriend is in the photo, just don't post the photo.
Yes,
don't post it.
Facts. Yeah. Very good. I'm learning. Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. Mar, you take another one?
Let's see. Yeah, I feel like I should have more like ready to go here.
I mean, it don't have to be dating app. It could be showing up for a date. It could be how fast we call or how fast we don't call. Whatever you got.
I think that you should definitely, you know, take things slow in getting to know someone at first. Don't, reveal every issue you have with your exes or anything like that. Don't expect someone to. I've had a couple of guys, I told you about one. After the first date, he was like, I just, I can't get a read on you, and I'm not sure how you... And I had another guy, even when I was just talking to him on one of those apps, same thing. Like, well, I'm just... trying to basically they couldn't tell if I liked them, and it's like, well, because we're just getting to know each other. Like the one guy, I was like, we went on one date, and he's like, usually I can just tell. I said I had a good time, and then I said I was like okay with hanging out again, and he was still like, well, usually I can tell whether someone likes me or not, and I just can't get a read. I just met you. I don't know, but I said I was willing to go out with you again, and now you're pressuring me and making this weird, and I don't want to.
I think the problem is people treating these apps like The Bachelor,
yeah.
Where they're like, okay, I'm gonna talk to 25 people at once, and I'm going to limit my time to where I have to make a decision on this person in like 30-second increments.
Maybe
and
that's
it's like,
it.
I need to know more about this person after one date with them that makes me like them more than another person I'm talking to. And it's like, why don't you just like pick like, you know, limit just a little bit less, like maybe two people you're talking to, maybe three. Like, you don't have to, when you have too many options, you're going to sometimes make the wrong decisions because you're going to try to be like going with your gut too often. And that means that you like overlook actually getting to know someone, you know, right. You don't have to get to know every single person on this platform at once. Also, what was the other one I was going to say? The pictures. Oh, what's kind of weird to me is if you ask someone too early exactly what they want from a relationship, it's okay to have that conversation because it's important.
But good call.
This one person I was talking to asked, like, in the very first conversation, no, like, the conversation wasn't going that way, but like, so what are you looking for on here? And I was like, what?
You know what? That's valuable. I think we all need to hear that.
Yeah.
That's like... Don't ask that question
right
away.
Just don't ask it too soon. It's okay to want to know, but it's weird to people if you're like, all right, let's get down to brass tacks. What are you looking for? And it's like, you just asked my dog's name. Like,
well, we got to get ready to get out of here. And there's a couple. There's one thing that here's a piece of advice.
Okay.
There's two things of advice I'm going to give. One is for everyone in general, and the other one is for the ladies. Here we go. The first one is, in general, try to stay away from asking someone what they do for work.
Mm.
Because the truth is, what we do for work really does not define who we are.
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe ask, what's your passion? Right? Those kind of things. Because
what do you do in your free
time? What do you do in your free time? Because what you do for work, you might be in between jobs. You might not like your job. You might ask somebody what they do for a living, and you might put them in a bad place.
Yes.
Stay away from there. The last one for the ladies. Ladies, if a man is interested in you, you will know it. It will be no question. If you have a question of whether or not the guy is into you, that's because there's someone else.
On to the next.
There's that. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend. That's Stacey Joe and Mara Dooley. They always come on. They usually talk sports, but tonight we had to get some things off our chest a little bit. Appreciate you guys for listening to the show. Love you for that. Be good.